Today's Bible readings come from Numbers 6, 22 to 27, Leviticus 9, 22 to 24, and 1 Peter 2, 2 to 10. Numbers 6, 22 to 27, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Leviticus 9, 22-24. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of God and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came down out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Now my great pleasure to invite Kate, who's going to share with us the message this morning.
Good morning. Nice to see your bright, shining faces. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me come and be part of your gathering and being able to speak to you. We had a great day yesterday. Those who were able to come, we had a great day learning about what it is to practice the ministry of blessing and who we are as a royal priesthood. And so I just want to share a little bit in a very condensed form today. We've just been to Halifax and shared the message, and somebody's even come back for seconds. Who's that? Yeah, up the back there. So I just hope that you can, I'm just going to read through a lot of scriptures and just speak a little bit about what your calling is here in this beautiful town of Ingham. I had to remember which town I was in. So, Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here today. Father, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to be able to hear you, sense you. That, Lord, that you would bring the spirit of revelation, that you would give us insight, that you would give us understanding to know what you're saying, what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are here, that your Holy Spirit is here, that you love us, and that you desire for us to know you more. So, Lord, we open ourselves to you. We make ourselves available to you now as we hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what might it be like if the reality of the presence of God broke out in your community. You have a great community here. This is a wonderful place where there's been many seeds sown and scattered spiritually amongst the believers here and into the town and the surrounding towns. What difference would it make to your neighbours and community if the kingdom of God broke in and came into the earth right here where you live? What difference would the atmosphere be like? What would it feel like? How would you feel? What would you sense? What would change? What wouldn't change? What has God already done in your lifetime here that you can give testimony to of the goodness of God? Well, 2 years ago, while we were just starting into lockdown, my daughter-in-law gave me The Grace Outpouring, the book The Grace Outpouring, to read. Has anybody read that book? No. Has anybody heard of it? Well, there's a couple of people up the back. Well, wonderful stories of hope and healing came from coming out of Faldebrennan. It's a place in Wales that's a Christian retreat centre. And there's been reports of angelic activity there. There's thousands of people flock there every year to experience healing, salvation, restoration of relationships. But there's been miracles and wonders that have occurred there. And they've called it what's called a thin place. And if you remember in Jacob's ladder in the Old Testament, where Jacob lay his head on a rock, and through the night he saw angels ascending and descending up and down like a ladder from heaven to earth. And that's what they call a thin place, where God comes and does something wonderful. It's like bringing heaven to earth. Well, I want to talk a little bit to you today about how we can be a part of that, how you and I, everyday, ordinary Christians, who have the miraculous and wonderful working power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how we can be a part of God's purposes and plans in everyday life. I believe right now that God is raising up an army of ordinary people. And so after I'd read this book, I went on the website and there was actually a Zoom training to become a local house of prayer. And so what they did was teach on what was happening at Faldebrennan to take that out to the world. They didn't want to just keep it for themselves. They wanted to let the world know what they had discovered and teach others how to live this lifestyle of blessing. So I was refreshed to learn that as they were doing this, that we could do this. And so what was happening at Faldebrennan, that we could actually ourselves learn how what the significance of the ministry of blessing was. So Jesus came, to start off with, Jesus showed us the way. When he invaded earth, Jesus didn't come just to bring salvation to our lives. Yes, we can receive Jesus, we can repent of our sins, and we can receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And yes, we have a place in heaven, and that's wonderful. But not only did Jesus come to give us salvation, but he came to remind us of our original purpose of being in relationship with him and representing him in the earth. Matthew 9 verse 35 says, "Soon afterwards Jesus went on through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness." So Jesus didn't just speak about the kingdom and tell his disciples and everywhere he went in the towns and villages what the kingdom of heaven was like. He actually demonstrated the kingdom. And how did he do that? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He restored hope. And he pointed the way to the Father. Then what happened? After he spoke about and demonstrated the kingdom himself, he then went in and called his 12 together in Luke 9, verses 1 to 2. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's amazing. Jesus was only on the earth for 3 years, and yet within those 3 years he had already sent out the 12 that were closest to him into the neighbouring towns. Actually, they weren't neighbouring, they took a long time to get to. They had to walk, and it would have taken months for them to come back and report to Jesus all that had been done. But he had given them the authority and the power to go and do what he was doing. So they went about speaking about the kingdom and demonstrating the kingdom, what the kingdom was like, demonstrating the power of Christ. So then what happened after that was that then Jesus sent out the 72, and he said to them, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So what does that mean, that the kingdom of God has come near to you? It means that the kingdom of heaven had come and invaded earth. The kingdom of heaven had been released into the earth. How powerful, how wonderful that is. But did it just stop there? Jesus, as we know, died and went to heaven, and then he sent us his Holy Spirit. He said, I'm sending you a comforter who will guide you and lead you in all things. What are all of those things that he was guiding and leading us into? He wasn't just there to give us a pat on the back when we were feeling down. Holy Spirit is ever with us. Holy Spirit is the power that raised Christ from the dead. And that same Holy Spirit is available to us to do powerful things, to do miraculous things, wonderful things, that as we partner with God, as we come into his presence, we too can then do the same things that Jesus did. We can do the same things that the 12 did. We can do the same things that the 72 did. Because in Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What was that everything that I have commanded you to? As Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven and he demonstrated it, he then, this is our commission too. This is what we can do. And yet, particularly in the Western Church, we're not quite as aware of that. We haven't really been understood what that meant. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit more about this. How do we do this? How are we meant to be so powerful as what Jesus is? How are we meant to be as powerful as the 12 or the 72? I don't think that we are meant to sit around and wait for heaven. God has given us a purpose. He's given us a calling. And each one of you here in Ingham have been placed here specifically by God. You're not here by accident. And the people around you are the people that God wants you to reach out to. And I think it's great that Greg's been doing this series on evangelism and learning and going through what it means to reach out to our community. So how do we do this? Well, number one, we need to know that we have intimacy with God. We have a relationship with God. In John 15:5, it says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Jesus never did anything on his own. He needed the power of God. He needed to see what his Father was doing and hear from what his Father was saying through the power of the Holy Spirit to then reach out to those that God said that he was sent to. We can come boldly before his throne of grace too. We have that access. You know, the curtain was torn when Jesus died. At the moment Jesus died, the curtain tore from the top to the bottom. That means somebody from the heavenly realm had taken the curtain and just torn it apart, and now we have free access to him. The more time we spend with God, the more we will display His likeness and can operate in His goodness together. We have the mind of Christ. All we need to do is believe that God has given us this message of speaking about and demonstrating the kingdom to each other and to the others around us. Number two, our authority in Christ. We need to believe that we have this authority. We are in Christ. Ephesians 2, 4-7 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So from a kingdom perspective, we don't see as the world sees. We are a new creation. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We have the mind of Christ. Thirdly, we are a royal priesthood. We are living stones in the spiritual house. And we heard the scriptures there in 1 Peter 2, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." So what is our role? If we are a priesthood, what's our role as a priesthood? What does that look like? How is that meant to pan out in the earth? How are we meant to display a priesthood, being a priesthood? And, well, there are three aspects to our call, and it is a call for every single Christian. So every person in Christ has the authority to be kingdom representatives on the earth, not just the ordained, not just leaders in ministry, not just people who get to speak on the platform. This is for each one of you that is sitting here today. This is the authority that Christ has given you. Those three things. Firstly, we are to stand and minister to God. How do we do that? In the Old Testament, they stood in the tent of meeting. Aaron and the priests would stand in the tent of meeting, and they would offer sacrifices to God. They would stand in His presence and do the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, and all of those things that were under the law. In the New Testament, for us to stand and minister to God, what does that look like today? We offer our praise. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, just as Jesus did. We might not be put on a cross, but we die with Christ, so that we might live. We sang that song this morning. That was a beautiful song, and I haven't sung that for ages. And I got a bit teary when I sang it at Halifax, because it was just such a dear song to me, and I haven't sung it for so long. But I should die that He should die that I might live. We died to Christ when we gave our life to Him. So we can stand and minister to Him, and our sacrifice is acceptable to Him. The second thing we need to do is to carry His presence. In the Old Testament, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. The Holy Spirit was put in a box, and it was carried around, and it was precious to them. So what does that look like for us in a New Testament perspective? Jesus died for us and sent the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? Is it not in us? Are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit now? So we carry the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. How wonderful that is. So that when you go into Aldi's or Woolworths or Gloria Jeans, or do you have a Gloria Jeans here? No. Any other place, you are carrying the presence of God into that room. You are carrying the presence of God when you walk down the street. When you have a family gathering where there are members of your family that don't know Jesus, you carry the presence of God wherever you go. The third thing to do as our royal, our duty and our call as a royal priesthood is to bless in his name. Now this is something that in the Western churches we're not really, we say bless you, and you know, even non-believers, I hear a lot of people who don't know the Lord saying bless you, and it's used quite flippantly, or even when you sneeze, bless you. But it means a lot more than that to God. God took that very seriously. And we read in the, so let's look at what blessing looks like a little bit further. In 1 Peter 3 verse 9 it says, "Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So this is our job. It's our job to bless people. So when we're blessing someone, we're speaking out from ourselves. We're not drawing people to us, we are actually giving something from us that comes from us. So in the Old Testament, the Levitical priests were told to bless, and as we heard in the Old Testament reading this morning, the Lord bless you, these were the words that they had to say after giving the sacrifice. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you peace. Those were the words that the Old Testament priests were to say. And Aaron tried to do that at first without actually going into the tent of meeting. At first he did all the sacrifices, he did everything by the rule book, and he spoke the words that the Father had told him to say. But nothing happened to the Israelites, the people that were, they were sort of looking at him. It was like, yep, and? And then Moses took Aaron into the tent of meeting and they stood in the presence of the Lord. And after they stood in the presence of the Lord, they came out and Aaron spoke those words again. But this time, the glory of the Lord fell on all the people and they were face down, full of awe and wonder. So there was something very significant about standing in the presence of God. And I think that this is such key to the ministry of blessing. When we bless people, we must remember that we're doing it from the power of the Holy Spirit. So we take a moment to stand in his presence and bless, speak a blessing over whatever God's showing you to bless, whether it's the land, whether it's our community, whether it's the schools, the government, people. We can bless knowing that God will put his name upon whatever we're blessing. He promises that in Leviticus 9 verse 27. He says, "So shall I put my name upon the Israelites and I will bless them." So that means that when you speak a blessing in the New Testament, as a New Testament believer, when you speak a blessing over someone, you are invoking God's name on that person. You are invoking the power, and the power of the Holy Spirit has an action to release heaven to earth, whatever you're speaking blessing over. Isn't that powerful? Did you know that? Did you know that this is something that each one of us can participate in? So we can pray. It's a bit like a bird with two wings. We can pray and ask God to bless our neighbourhood. We can ask God to and come to him with all kinds of requests. But then we can also then, in the power and the authority that he has given us as a royal priesthood, say, "I pray for this, but now I also bless what you're showing me to pray for, God. I bless this community. I bless the land where blood has been spilt in the past, that it would be renewed. I bless these people that need healing. I bless them, and God will put his name on them." We've experienced so many stories since starting Local Houses of Prayer. So Local Houses of Prayer is the movement that's come out of Valdebrennen that's going all around the world. And the network in Australia has just been emerging, and I can actually say bursting over the last 2 years. We've had hundreds and hundreds of local houses of prayer starting up all over Australia, where two or three people gather and come in to agreement that they want to see transformation take place in their community. So anybody here can start doing this. You can start blessing your town. You can start blessing your community. Come together with one other person and just meet and say, we want to bless our community. We'll speak blessings over them. And so let me just finish with telling you some of the stories. First of all, Greg and I, my husband's name's Greg, and we formed a local house of prayer to start with, and we started blessing each other and blessing our family to begin with, and we asked God for five people that we could bless outside of our home. And when we started to bless each other, we noticed a shift within 2 weeks. Like, this was almost immediately. The things that were really bothering me about Greg weren't bothering me any quite so much anymore. Everything started to change. There was a shift in the atmosphere. We had people come into our home after we started blessing, and they didn't want to leave. They would stay for hours because of the presence of God in our room. They just wanted to hang out with us, and we were like, yeah, do whatever you like. Some would even stay overnight, and they had the best night's sleep that they'd had in years by staying in our house. And we just knew that it was because of the presence of God. So another lady, a lady rang me. She had a cyst on her wrist, and she had to go to the hospital the next day to have it taken out. And she hated needles. She didn't want to have a big scar on her hand. So she rang me and she said, can you bless my wrist before I go into the hospital? And I said, we can both bless. It's not just me. Anybody can do this. You can do this. And so I blessed her and she blessed her wrist. She went into the hospital, and just as the doctor was about to put an anesthetic in her wrist to cut and open her up, the cyst started going down before the doctor's eyes. And he's going, what's going on? And she just started laughing. She couldn't stop laughing, and he couldn't even get two words out of her. Each time that he tried to put the anesthetic there, it just didn't work. The cyst went down further and further and he called another doctor in and said, come and look at this. Every time I put the needle near her arm, it goes down even further. And she walked out of the hospital, and it reminds me of that dancing and leaping and praising God. You know, that the guy that was lame, he went off dancing and leaping and praising God. She was just laughing her head off. We've had experience of people that where cancer has been absolutely healed. One lady had a stomach cancer, and they went to open her up, and there was no cancer to be found. We've had so many instances of healing and restoration. Just a couple of weeks ago, one woman, we went to Dorrigo in New South Wales, and she started blessing her son because he was suicidal. And this pandemic has really wreaked havoc with our young people. There's been so many suicides. And so he was suicidal, and she started to bless him. And within a few weeks, he rang her and he said, Mum, I just want to come back to God again, and I feel happy. I don't know what's happened, but I just feel happy again, and I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. We can make such a difference from the comfort of our own home. Yes, we are to go out into the streets. There are people who are wired that way to just go and approach people. I'm not one of those people. I'm an introvert. But I can bless people wherever I am and whoever I'm talking to, and see God do amazing and wonderful things. So I just want to encourage you that you can do this too. So if you'd like to know a bit more about it, I'm really happy to speak with you afterwards. But I'd just like to finish by speaking a blessing over you, if that's okay. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Uniting Church of Ingham. I bless every person here, that your hearts would just be enlarged and that you would have the capacity to do amazing and wonderful things, that you would, that your faith would increase, that your eyes would be open to the people, the places, the things that God wants you to speak blessing over. I bless you with the ministry of blessing, that you can function in it as much as any other person that has been given the authority in Christ to do so. I bless you that you would have encounters with the Lord, that you would know the presence of God in your life more and more. I bless you with his presence coming into your home, your living rooms, your bedrooms, your garden areas. I bless you with the peace of the Lord. And I bless you with his joy, that you will go out from this place with a newfound joy and experience his presence in greater measure. And I bless you that the people in this district would just, through you, be, as you are a light, that they would become, that they would light up, that they would see and know that God is our one true God through you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.